Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 124. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Well, today we are continuing on in the series of heroes and heroines of the faith. Today we're focusing on Moses and the burning bush. And this is going to be an interactive sermon. I hope that you will join in. I think it will be fun. So there is a phrase that I am going to repeat, and it is, "But God had other plans." So it's going to come up several times during the sermon. So when you hear me say "but" and pause, then please respond if you feel like you can. Had other plans. Should we practice? But God had other plans. Okay, good. Very good. Okay. Listen now for God's word to and for us from the third chapter of Exodus, the first 15 verses. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush. Moses looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt. Indeed, I know their sufferings. I have heard their cry on the account of their taskmaster, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land to a good and a spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, and this is my title, for all generations. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we have come here, each of us, as individuals and as your church, not to hear a human word, but to hear your word. We give you thanks for your word that shall last forever. And we give thanks for the message that we will receive today. Open us now, and may it take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, while in an airport, on one of his many trips, former President Bush was walking by a man that caught his eye. Caught his eye for several reasons. He had long gray hair, he was wearing a robe, he had sandals in his feet, and the most curious thing was he had a staff in his hand. So he went up to him and he said, "Hey, has anyone ever told you before that you look like Moses?" And the man just continued to stare straight ahead, like he couldn't hear him. He responded in no way. And so he said again, "Moses." The same response, no effect. The man just kept staring. So he went over to one of his Secret Service agents and he said, "Hey, do you see that guy over there? Am I crazy or does he look like Moses to you?" And the Secret Service agent says, "Yeah, he kind of does look like Moses." And he was sensing former President Bush's frustration, and so he went up to the man and he said in a whisper, he said, "Hey, are you Moses? You look like Moses." And the man whispered back, "Yes, I am Moses, but I don't want to talk to him because the last time I talked to a bush, I ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. What a complete shock it must have been to Moses. He's out there tending the flocks, and all of a sudden, he sees out of the corner of his eye this bright light flash, and he turns, and he sees a bush, and he walks over to it, and he looks at it, and it's burning, but it's not being burnt up. As the scripture said, it was not consumed. And then, in a little while, he hears a voice from the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he knows immediately, either he's crazy or that's God. He hears him calling. And you know, that would have been enough for anybody for one day to see a bush that was burning and not consumed, but also to hear God's voice say, "Moses and Moses." I bet he wished he could just go home and forget the whole thing. But no, God had this elaborate plan for his life. And I don't think Moses really wanted to do that at all. It wasn't just a little something, it was a huge something. In fact, it would be the biggest challenge of his life. At the time that this happened, Moses was 80 years old. Two-thirds of his life had already passed him by. He must have thought that his days for contributing in a big way to anything were days of the past. After all, he had lived a full life. When he was born, the Hebrew people were enslaved by the Egyptians. You probably remember the story. But God had other plans, and Moses was born. And what a time to be born, because you see, the Hebrews were multiplying like rabbits, and Pharaoh was getting nervous, and the Egyptians were getting nervous because they felt like they were going to take over and rise up and revolt. And so Pharaoh issued an edict, and he said that every Hebrew boy should be killed when it was born. Well, thankfully, there were God-fearers among that group, especially with the midwives. Because of the efforts of Shiprah and Puah, and also the efforts of Moses' mom, Jochebed, and his sister, Miriam, Moses was spared, and he was hidden. And the time came when he couldn't be hidden anymore, and they did another thing, and they got a basket, and Jochebed told Miriam, her daughter, to take this basket, and they placed Moses in it, baby Moses, and put it in the Nile River. And that could have been the end of him too. I understand there are crocodiles in the Nile River, or some of the Egyptians might have discovered him there and just killed him then and there. But God had other plans. Thankfully, an Egyptian princess found the baby and heard the baby Moses crying and took pity on him, and not only that, but adopted him as her own, as her very own son, and brought him up in the palace. He enjoyed an education second to none, and he was given power, prestige, and a place in the world. Well, that would have been all and fine, but he had this sense of justice instilled, and he knew that he was a Hebrew above all. He was out one day and he was observing his people suffering in the hot sun, and evidently they weren't making enough bricks and they weren't satisfying the taskmasters, and there was a taskmaster that was beating a slave, and something snapped. Something just snapped in Moses, and he killed the taskmaster. And he buried him in the sand. And when Pharaoh found out about it, Pharaoh said that he was going to kill Moses. There was a price on his head. So Moses got out of Dodge. He went to the wilderness of Midian. And there he met a nice girl, Zipporah, and they had a baby. And life seemed pretty good. He was employed by his father-in-law, and he was a shepherd. He was out in the field, taking care of his sheep. It was hot and dusty. He was doing his thing. He was far from the luxury. He could hardly remember what it was like to live in the palace. And perhaps he thought that this was God's provision for his life. But it wasn't. But God had other plans. Moses left Egypt as a fugitive, and he had gone to Midian. And now he encounters this talking bush. And God has this huge job for him to do. And of course, we remember that he says, in so many words, I don't think I'm the right guy for this job, not me. And God persists. And then he has a second objection, and he says, well, wait a minute. If they ask me, if I go to my people and I say that God has sent me, what's your name? Who are you? What name do I tell them? It was a very good question, because those Hebrews were in the midst of Egyptian culture. They had many gods, pantheon of gods and goddesses, and their names revealed something about who they were and their nature. Think about the Ra, the god of the sun god. Ra means sun. So if he just knew God's name, then he could explain to the people who this God was. And God said, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. God's name is a verb. It's not like a noun, like your name or my name. Our God is a God of being, of energy, of creativity, and of life. Or in the New Testament, where God in the person of Jesus Christ says, and remember, they're all the same, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. The story of Moses in the burning bush is a miraculous supernatural event. But the most important thing in this passage is that we learn who God is and what God's nature is. That our God is primarily the God of life. As full and as dramatic as Moses' life had been up to this point of the burning bush, his past had only been a prologue to the rest of his story that was about to begin. Moses, who was guilty of murder, would now return and call the Egyptians to repent. Can you imagine that? And then he would lead the Israelites out of their bondage through the wilderness for 40 long years until he finally took them to the edge of the promised land. During that 40 years, the Israelites would vacillate between faith and disbelief, between praise and complaining. Hey, wait a minute, that sounds like us, or at least me anyway. Finally, Moses led them safely to the edge of the promised land. This was probably not what Moses had planned for his retirement years, but God had other plans. Ours is a God of new beginnings. God's plans always include life. This morning's passage, God instructs Moses to take off his sandals because he is standing on holy ground. What an honor that must have been. Do you think we ever stand on holy ground? Well, maybe you might say back to me that, well, of course, we're in church, aren't we? But God in the person of the Holy Spirit, she is everywhere. So everywhere we stand is holy ground. Wherever we go. Because God is everywhere, and God knows and hears us and sees us and says, I have observed the misery of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere and in every place and time with people like Moses and like you and like me, and wants to bring us into abundant places of life out of whatever wilderness we are experiencing, like the wilderness that our brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing in Maui right now, or the Ukraine, the wilderness places of homelessness or hunger or prejudice and injustice, of oppression and slavery, which still is very much alive in the world. The wilderness of global warming, of gun violence, of financial bondage, of political polarization that separates God's children from one another. Perhaps you are living through a personal wilderness yourself, of grief, of depression, of loneliness, of addiction, or maybe illness. If so, God sees your suffering and says to each and every one of us, I have observed the misery of my people. I have heard your crying. One place in the Bible it says, I have counted your tears and I have kept them in a bottle. I know how you suffer, and I have come down to deliver. You see, God always has other plans for us. Plans, as the prophet Jeremiah tells us, to prosper us, not to harm. To give us a future with a hope. God always brings abundant life. After all, life is who the great I am is and what the great I am does. God in Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be in the depths of the human wilderness experience. Some of the Jewish leaders, they thought that they had hatched the perfect plan. They thought that they had Jesus right where they wanted him. He'd been stirring up trouble with all of his talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, with all of his miracles and all of his healings. He had given the people courage, and his growing popularity was threatening their positions of power. In their mind, Jesus had gone too far, and they wanted to do away with him. They wanted to kill him, but the Torah wouldn't let them. But Rome was only too happy to oblige. And so they had the governor, Pilate, pass a sentence. And Jesus hung on the cross and suffered a horrific, painfully unjustified and senseless death. When the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, they thought that death had the last word, but God had other plans. As Jesus, the eternal word, echoing the God of the Israelites, the great I am, said, I am the resurrection and the life. Our God is the one who brings order out of chaos, who brings laughter where there are tears, healing where there is suffering, and life from death. As Irenaeus once said, the glory of God is a human being who is fully alive. Just as God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, God has something God wants to do through each and every one of us to redeem the wilderness places. I don't know what God is calling you or has laid on your heart right now, but I do know that God is leading all of us, you and me, out of wilderness places for our highest good. It doesn't matter if you, like Moses, think that you don't have what it takes. It doesn't matter if you've made mistakes in the past and you've made a mess of things. It doesn't matter if you think that your life is over and that God just can't use you anymore. Because it's not about us. It's about what God's power can do in and through us. And all we have to do is say yes. Because our God of life and our God of new beginnings has other plans. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.